believe the size of that hail that fell at the house about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Golf ball size hail there for a few minutes up in the central foothills. It was really something to see. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I welcome you to the program. It is July 1st, 2015, a Wednesday, and happy Canada Day to all our Canadian friends on this, the 148th anniversary of the creation of the Canadian Federation. It's also known as Dominion Day up north. So all of our Canadian friends, we love Canada. Thank you very much. We are coming to you live from Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Podcasts and our complete show archive available for you anytime at our website at buckmastershow.com. Also, links to the program on the home pages of TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Sahrita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com. We begin with a conversation with Pima County Supervisor and the Chair of the Board of the Pima County Supervisors, Sharon Bronson. 12:30 coming up, Nutrition Reporter. You can get your health and wellness questions ready for Jack Chalom. Jack will be concentrating today about talking about type 2 or pre-diabetes. What should folks with pre-diabetes be eating? The live line number is 790-2040 and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Let's go to the live line now and the chair of the board of the supervisors, Sharon Bronson. Sharon, how are you?
I'm fine, Bill, and thank you much for inviting me on your show. Great to be here.
Well, there is only one meeting, I believe, in July, correct? And that'll be coming up Tuesday?
Tuesday, July 7th is our only, yes, we're on summer schedule. So that will be our only meeting in July, which is probably good news for residents. We can't do any further damage in July, just on the 7th.
Well, one of the marquee items that you and your colleagues will be considering, Sheriff Clarence Dupnik will be ending his very long career that spans about a half a century, I think 50 years in law enforcement. He officially retires as head of the Pima County Sheriff's Department on July 31st. So it will be up now to the Board of Supervisors to consider his recommended replacement, Chief Deputy Chris Nanos. So what is the procedure to be followed here, Sharon?
Well, we, on the agenda, as you've already mentioned, for July 7th is acceptance of Sheriff Dupnik's letter of resignation and his retirement, which is July 31st. And the board will be accepting his resignation effective July 31st at that meeting. Of course, you know, you have to count to five, but I would expect a unanimous vote on that one. And then the second item is appointing a replacement for him. And as you know, Sheriff Dupnik has strongly recommended Chief Deputy Nanos. I certainly fully intend to support Chief Deputy Nanos. Normally, when somebody retires mid-term, we would ask that people submit letters of interest, fill out the required firm forms, disclosure forms, and then we would make a selection from that. And of course, they would have to be of the same party as the person retiring and meet the other statutory requirements. I think in this case, the board is at least not at this point opting to look at or request other candidates. Because frankly, you know, in my view only, I'm not speaking for other board members, but we have an excellent replacement in Chief Deputy Nanos. He is of the same party as Clarence, and I think we have in the Pima County Sheriff's Department a premier law enforcement organization, a professional organization, and all the deputies at the top are certainly qualified to serve as sheriff. But the only one who meets all the statutory requirements is Chief Deputy Nanos, who is a Democrat. The other deputies, chiefs, are bureau chiefs, are all Republican. And again, to ensure continuity of command and assure the professionals, the continued professionalism of that excellent department, I think Sheriff Dubnyk, I concur with Sheriff Dubnyk that Chris Nanos is the person for the job.
And we interviewed Chief Deputy Nanos on our program on Friday, spent a half an hour with him. I was very impressed with him, and if folks want to learn a little bit about him and the way he plans to manage the Pima County Sheriff's Department, I would strongly urge folks to listen, to go to my website, buckmastershow.com. We've got that show up there, and folks can hear a little bit from Chris Nanos about what he is planning in the wake of really taking over from a guy who has really had quite a legacy here in Pima County in law enforcement. But I was very impressed with Chris in our conversation on Friday.
And I think, didn't you find him? He's very accessible. I see him as I travel my district, and that district is 7,400 square miles. It goes all the way to Ajo, Arizona. He's been out in Ajo, Arizona several times. I see him at many major events around town. I am really impressed with his professionalism, but also his accessibility. And I have to admit that he and I shared an interesting moment a couple of months ago when we both, for the Girl Scouts, rappelled down that 18 or 17-story building on Broadway. He was game for that, so I think he's game for being the next sheriff of Pima County.
All right, 790-2040 for questions or comments for Pima County Board of Supervisors Chair Sharon Bronson. Now that the budget has been passed, we had a question coming in on my email about why there is no money for pavement preservation in the budget, even though her funding apparently is up 7.8% from last year. Can you answer that?
Well, the reality is there is money for road repair and maintenance in the HERF revenues. I think the gentleman must be referring to the general fund allocation we, the Board of Supervisors, have allocated the last several years, which was about $5 million. We will be spending more than $5 million on pavement preservation using through HERF revenues, which is the correct source and the traditional source for maintenance that we've used in the past. But as the state has swept those funds, we've had to supplement those HERF revenues with revenues from the general fund, which isn't really fair for those who live in unincorporated Pima County, like the city of Tucson or Oro Valley, because none of that $5 million ever went for any roads within incorporated jurisdictions. But another reason why we, of course, haven't made the $5 million allocation this year from the general fund is because of the unprecedented state cost shifts to the county, which this year it looks like will be to the tune of over $21 million. We simply don't have the general fund revenues, excess general fund revenues to even begin to look at pavement preservation. And I guess the third reason is that we are going out in November with a bond packet that includes a significant amount for pavement preservation. And when you couple those three variables, that's the reason there is no general fund dollars for pavement preservation. But there is money for both maintenance and preservation in the HERF fund revenues will be receiving.
And there will be a very hotly contested, it is already hotly contested, the bond. There are eight bond questions that voters will be talking or will be deciding on, and one of those is for, I believe, $160 million for road work in Pima County. That's one of the eight bonds. What do you say to people who say we simply can't afford this to vote yes on the bonds, Sharon Bronson?
I say two things. If we can't afford to vote yes, then we are going to be looking at, because of the significant cost shifts of the state and the inability of the state and federal government to adequately fund transportation. If you look at just that piece, that $160 million. If we don't invest in this community, what's going to happen is we will gradually become, we will look very much like a third world nation. We have to invest in our infrastructure if we're going to have a robust economy, and that's exactly what this bond package does. There are eight questions, and if you look at it and put it in perspective, as you look at your tax bill, if you want to see a prosperous community, you're not going to see, as we did in previous bond packets, you're not going to see that secondary rates, which pays for the bond, go over 80 cents, and that's a promise we've made to voters. And I think, frankly, I'd like to see it pass, because I think if we're going to have economic prosperity, we need some investment in infrastructure, and that's what government does best.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's 12:15. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040. We'll be right back with Sharon Bronson, the midweek edition of Buckmaster. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Well, Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our Wednesday edition. Pima County voters recently approved a bond program for a new facility for the Pima Animal Control Center. When will that facility be built, Sharon Bronson?
Well, last Thursday we had a kickoff event for the new facility, and so we're beginning to put those bond dollars to work. We hope to see that facility up and running. I'd love to see it up before November, but I think we're probably 6 to 9 months out before, barring any unforeseen difficulties, and we don't see anything on that particular site. We're probably looking at something toward the beginning of next 16.
And so if folks are looking for something to do on the 4th of July, I strongly recommend going out to the Pima Animal Control Facility and walking a dog and maybe petting a cat.
And I think that's going to be going on from around 9 to noon, if I recall correctly. And I think, as you mentioned, this is July 4th. One of the scariest days for pets in the year is July 4th. And between July 4th and July 5th, we expect that the Pima Animal Care Center is going to have quite an influx of pets, particularly dogs, with the fireworks and all the activity that comes with the 4th of July. So just urge everybody listening, keep your pets safe for the 4th of July. Keep them indoors, so they don't have to come visit Pima Animal Care Center, although we will, of course, take good care of them if they get to our shelter.
All right. Sharon Bronson with us from the Pima County Board of Supervisors, where she is the chair. We have a couple of folks who would like to speak with Sharon Bronson. Kim, you are up first at 790-2040. Go ahead, Kim.
Thank you. I was wondering, I'm hearing a lot of information from the Board of Supervisors that the state keeps sweeping the HERF funds, but in actuality, on average, doesn't the county receive about $53 million per year over the last 10 years? And actually, the state's only swept about $3.7 million. So I guess my question is, where's the rest of that money going? I know that $19 million is going to pay the prior bond payments, but where's the other $30-plus million going?
And that goes into routine maintenance.
And the routine maintenance includes what? Filling potholes?
Filling potholes, doing all the statutory requirements that relate to transportation. And as you are aware, as the state gas tax hasn't changed in 20 years, and people are driving less, our HERF dollars are shrinking, and that the amount we're getting is not, we have a $300 million challenge, and you can't deal with that with $50 million a year. It's just impossible.
Okay, thank you, Kim. Let's see, who is up next? Bren, I believe? Yeah, Bren. Go ahead, Bren.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. I'm a longtime resident here of Tucson. I'm a home, so I pay taxes on my property. I'm concerned that if this bond does pass, that the allocated money for the roads will just be moved for another pet project. What guarantee is there that this money will not be moved and it will be spent on the roads?
Okay.
That's a perfect question. Thank you so much for asking it. That's why we have a truth in bonding ordinance that will guarantee that those projects that are on the bond packet will be built as the voters wish. And we are in the process of shoring that up and making it even stronger than the language in the last bond packet, because voters deserve to get what they voted for. And I certainly could not possibly be supportive of a bond packet that didn't come with a concurrent assurance that what projects the voters want are the projects that will be built and not alternate projects. So, again, there's a truth in bonding ordinance that addresses your concerns, and it seems to me one of our top priorities that you've already mentioned, sir, is making sure we take care of our infrastructure, particularly our roads. So again, I'm supportive of that particular question because we have assurances that that money will not be swept. That's something the state can't do to us. It's not the state's money.
All right. Next up at 790-2040, we have caller Marla. Marla, you are with Sharon Bronson.
Hello.
Hi, Marla. Go ahead. You're with Sharon.
Okay. Hi, Sharon. I just had a question for you. You just talked about for about 5 minutes about the financial dire straits that our county is in, as we can all agree upon. And I would like to know how you can justify going into further debt to spend for non-essential projects when we can't even pay our deputies. And the second part of my question is the operation and maintenance part of the bond pushes us past $1 billion, and the city doesn't have the money for it, and neither does the county, as you just previously stated. So my second part is, who's going to pay for that?
Okay, thank you, Marla.
Actually, I think you're in error. We certainly have the money to maintain, or we wouldn't be building. And number two, I think that in the bond packet and in the bond ordinance that we have passed, you will see that the bond committee actually recommended that no project be initiated unless that maintenance was guaranteed. And you're correct. You know, the city, unfortunately, has a history of failing to maintain some of its facilities, among them the Tucson Convention Center, the Temple of Music and Art, the Tucson Music Hall, the Expo Fountain. But the Bond Advisory Committee has specifically asked for the accountability and the maintenance of these public investments. And, again, on the HERF side of it, I think if the bond passes, we will have the money to deal with those infrastructure issues. And as we see the economy improve, I think you will see that the maintenance is not going to be the issue that you seem that you are concerned that it might be.
And speaking of the city, we have Councilman Kasacek accusing you and your colleagues of overstepping your authority in the bond ordinance. And Mr. Kasacek would like you and your colleagues to change the section of the county bond ordinance to give the county authority over projects funded by county borrowing for 25 years. What do you say to Mr. Kasacek?
Well, I think Pima County is not trying to tell the city or any other jurisdiction what to do or how to manage its own budget. But if the voters approve this bond, this countywide bond program, we, the county, the Pima County Board of Supervisors, has a responsibility to make sure that capital and facilities investments made by voters are well maintained. And again, just as I said previously, that's why the Bond Advisory Committee, of which the city was a participant, specifically asked for that accountability in the maintenance of these public investments. And I think, you know, Councilman Kasacek has to put it in perspective. You know, you can't build it unless you're going to maintain it. And I don't think, again, we're trying specifically to tell the city what to do. We're trying to guarantee accountability to the voters to make sure that any capital investment is also maintained. It makes sense to me. It makes economic sense, and we have a fiduciary responsibility in that regard.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up. Got about 2 minutes with you, Sharon Bronson. What is the status of the suit that was brought by Pima County over this cost shifts to the county budget from the state? Has anything been decided on when that might be heard?
The Supreme Court has agreed to hear it. We're hoping to hear soon. As an interesting side note to that, Bill, the attorney who just ran the redistricting lawsuit representing the Independent Election Committee, mm-hmm. Redistricting Committee, is the same attorney we've hired to represent us in our lawsuit against the state. But you know, we feel that, again, the legislature passes laws, the exec carries out the laws, and the judicial branch interprets the laws. And we feel that the legislative branch enacted an unfair law, and as an aggrieved party, we have the responsibility to ask the judicial branch of government to review what we believe is an unfair and unconstitutional law, and I'm particularly referring to that $18.1 million that have been transferred to the county that's basically as a result of Tucson Unified School District. And why should county residents in the Northwest, in, say, the Flowing Wells School District, the Amphi School District, the Marana School District, why should they pay the costs for Tucson Unified School District when they can't even vote in the Tucson Unified School District school board elections? We feel that that cost shift was unconstitutional.
All right, Sharon Bronson, thank you very much for spending a half an hour with us here on our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Hope you have a great Independence Day weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Sharon Bronson with us on the Buckmaster Show. Our health and wellness questions will be answered to the best of his ability from Jack Chalom, the nutrition reporter. Today we're going to be focusing, at least initially, on this epidemic in this country of what's called pre-diabetes or type 2 diabetes. Jack is with me in studio. He is ready to go, but first we ask you to listen to the fine people that sponsor our program. Be right back.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where we are now exactly at 12:34 on this Wednesday before the 4th of July weekend coming up. Jack Chalom is joining us in studio, and Jack, of course, is the nutrition reporter. And we're going to be talking about pre-diabetes, and it's also referred to as type 2 diabetes, which has reached epidemic proportions in this country. So what should folks that are concerned about this, and I guess all of us should be concerned, be eating, especially for breakfast? That's the lead item that is addressed in the recent edition of the Nutrition Reporter, which is an independent newsletter that reports on vitamin, mineral, and food therapies. The Nutrition Reporter newsletter is published by Jack Chalom, the Nutrition Reporter. He's the monthly nutrition contributor to the Buckmaster Show. Jack lives here in Tucson, but travels the world speaking about nutrition. He is a personal nutrition coach, one of America's most trusted health writers. He has more than 20 books, including Inflammation, The Inflammation Syndrome, and the book, his latest book, No More Fatigue. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill.
A lot of people are very concerned about, they go to the doctor, they have their blood sugar, the fasting blood test, we're all aware of that. You know, you have to not eat for, what, about 8 hours before the test is administered. And sometimes, and quite often these days, the test will come back over 100. That's kind of where, if your blood sugar is over 100, it's kind of a red flag. And it's a wake-up call for many people. And they're all saying, well, gee, what have I done wrong?
Yeah, and, you know, Bill, if the fasting blood sugar is between 100 and 125, that's a sign of pre-diabetes. If it's 126 or higher, that's a sign of type 2 diabetes, basically full-blown diabetes. You know, I'm going to make a shameless plug here for my book, Pre-Diabetes Now, which is really, I think, and the reviews have clearly stated, this is about the best book out there for people with either pre-diabetes or type 2 diabetes. It's available on Amazon. I've got some sample chapters up on my website. But what I want to really zero in on are a couple of recent studies. And the first one really deals with this whole fat phobia that started in the 1970s. And relative specifically to people with prediabetes or type 2 diabetes. And bigger picture, that whole fat phobia issue is shifting now to less of a concern about any particular fat in the diet. Really looks like the major problem is refined carbohydrates, which include refined sugars. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the first study basically took a group of people with either prediabetes or type 2 diabetes. They were divided into two groups. One was asked to eat two eggs each day for 6 days of every week. This was for 3 months. Uh-huh. And the other people were asked to eat two or fewer eggs per week. Mm-hmm. Well, most people would think, well, their cholesterol is going to go through the roof.
Right.
Well, it didn't. And their blood fats didn't really change, even when they were eating like 14 eggs a week.
Wow.
And you know, but by focusing on people with prediabetes or type 2 diabetes, these are kind of like the canaries in the mine. You would expect that these people would be the most sensitive to all of this fat and dietary cholesterol. And so it's just one more study showing how really the sands are shifting back toward a more reasonable approach, not zeroing in on one dietary factor like cholesterol or saturated fat. Another bonus, the people who were eating two eggs a day, they were less hungry.
Huh.
And they felt much more satisfied after eating their breakfast. And this is consistent with other studies. Now, the other recent study that's kind of interesting, is one in which they put people on a bunch of different diets. And the two notable things was a high glycemic, low fiber diet, which basically is your typical American diet. And this led to the worst blood sugar effect. And the one that had the best effect on blood sugar was low glycemic, basically high fiber. And that basically led to a much better response in terms of blood sugar, insulin, and just being satisfied after eating. And one of the things people have forgotten in the last 40 to 50 years about this whole fat phobia thing is fat is much more satisfying, and it makes us less hungry. Whereas sugary foods, carbohydrate foods, tend to make us more hungry.
What would a typical low glycemic breakfast be, Jack? Oatmeal?
Oatmeal. Really stone-cut or Irish oatmeal is far better than instant. You can add some raspberries and blueberries, which are low glycemic fruits. You can add some cinnamon powder, which is an herb or a food extract that actually helps with blood sugar management. Another low glycemic breakfast would be a couple of eggs and bacon and maybe a piece of whole wheat toast.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you have any concerns or questions about pre-diabetes or a type 2 diabetes or really any health questions, Jack Chalom is here to help out. And again, the name of the book that deals with this specifically?
Stop Pre-Diabetes Now.
And it goes into different diet information.
Yeah, there's a complete diet plan, supplement recommendations, diet menus. I think they really boil down to like a two-week eating plan, which you don't have to adhere to exactly. And my general recommendation to people I consult with is if you can do the right thing 90% of the time, you're going to be way ahead of most other people.
You said that the stone-cut oatmeal is so much better than the instant. Why is that?
The instant is more heavily processed, which is why it'll cook in a microwave in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
The stone-ground or Irish-cut oatmeal, you really have to prepare the night before, let it soak in water, and then heat it up. And people who want to go that route, the best approach is to cook up a whole week's batch at once, and then you can put smaller portions in the microwave.
All right. Also in the Nutrition Reporter, you got into folic acid, and this is really important for people who are hoping that they do not have a stroke and they have a risk of hypertension.
Yeah, folic acid is one of the sort of little B vitamins that we don't usually hear a lot about. And this was a study in which some people in the study were given 800 micrograms of folic acid in combination with a blood pressure lowering drug. The drug in this case happened to be Vasotec. But it would probably apply to any drug used for lowering blood pressure. And people who took this combination had a 21% lower risk of any type of stroke compared with those who were just taking the blood pressure medication. Now, what was interesting was, and this was in the Journal of the AMA, by the way, a couple of the researchers, top researchers from Harvard, wrote an editorial, and they said, you know, the nature of the study probably underestimates the benefits of folic acid in stroke prevention. And those are pretty impressive words coming from a couple of nutrition researchers who are generally pretty conservative.
How do we then take folic acid? Is it in a B complex?
It would be in a B complex or a multivitamin. And I think the key here would be making sure you get 800 micrograms. A lot of the supplements only have 400. And my preference would be to see people taking a high-potency multi or a high-potency B-complex rather than folic acid by itself.
So a high, at least, what, 200 milligrams on a B-complex?
50 milligrams on the major Bs, like B1, B2, B3.
All right, Jack Challum with us. We'll stick around for another segment, 790-2040. 790-2040 for questions for Jack. We'll be right back on The Buckmaster Show.
Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday for the monthly showdown with Sean McCluskey and David Morales. Also our monthly visit with Dr. David Levy, the world-renowned comet discoverer. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Also anywhere in the world, live streaming podcasts and show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion brought to you by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where they are getting ready for a big all-day event, Independence Day celebration. This Saturday, the 4th of July, of course, there will be fireworks. There'll be a very large parade through historic downtown Silver City, and it's just 3 hours, basically, east of the Tucson region. It would be a great experience over there. something different over in Silver City. You can find out about the many places to stay. There's, oh my goodness, at least 24 fine accommodations in the area, like Casitas de Gila guest houses, and so much to do. The full listing is at southwestnewmexico.org. With me in studio, Jack Chalam, the nutrition reporter and award-winning photographer. Jack, I want to go to caller Sue, who is with us on the live line at 790-2040. Thank you, Sue, for waiting so patiently.
Hi, I had a question. My husband has type 2 diabetes. What is the best snack at night when his blood sugar is right around 100 and we don't want it to go below, but something that will hold him all night? One thing we found is peanut butter toast with a piece of bacon, but is there something else?
You know, I think you've got really a good approach there. I was going to suggest some nuts like raw almonds. You know, there certainly would be nothing wrong with his blood sugar dropping below 100 as long as it's not, you know, dropping down to 70. But, you know, if you could work on getting his blood sugar to gradually lower, and really the key here is a stable or a gradual lowering would be best. Sometimes a piece of cheese will help, kind of a quick and dirty thing, high-quality deli turkey. You can find some good brands at natural grocers or Whole Foods without a lot of additives. And I think these things really are good for stabilizing blood sugar.
Thank you, Sue.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Sue calling us at 790-2040. We also had a question from, was it Fred? Yes, Fred had a question. And he could not stick around to ask this personally, but he wanted me to convey this to you, Jack, about statins and prediabetes. Your thoughts on statins?
Oh, these are...
so many people are prescribed statins these days.
And these are...
Doctors seem to love them.
Yeah, and so do the drug companies. These are, I think, among the most dangerous drugs out there. And they're basically prescribed for lowering cholesterol, and cholesterol is a symptom. It's not a cause of heart disease. The risk factors are so high with statins in terms of liver injury, muscle pain and degeneration. Literally, the muscles can just wither away in some people. There's apparently an increased risk of diabetes in people who take statins. And the way statins work is they basically screw up one of the most basic essential biochemical pathways in the body. And cholesterol is really an essential substance for our health. And typically the only people I think should be taking statins are those with an inherited gene that basically causes them to have cholesterol levels of 400, 500, 600, 700. Whereas most of us probably have a cholesterol of between 2 and 250.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious about statins because I know personally, I could give you several dozen people I know that are on them. Is it a matter of the dosage is too high, or what's going on there? Is a small dose of statin better than what they're prescribing generally?
Yeah, and you know, I do think the doses are too high. If someone's concerned about cholesterol, I would suggest a more natural substance like red yeast rice extract, which you can get at any of the health food stores in town. And what they contain is a naturally occurring form of statin. In fact, there was this whole patent lawsuit over this a few years ago. And these over-the-counter supplements basically contain a very small amount of, again, a naturally occurring statin. And it seems to do the job for a lot of people. And there are a lot of other natural things that will lower cholesterol. In terms of supplements, there's one called phytosterols, which are basically another type of plant extract. If you eat more veggies and more fiber, that will lower cholesterol. Basically, the statins have gotten a foothold in the marketplace, one because of drug company advertising and marketing, but also because most people don't want to eat right and exercise.
So it's kind of a quick and easy solution.
Yeah, but it comes with all of these risk factors.
Jack Chalom is with us, the nutrition reporter. We're talking about eating right and talking about low vitamin D. That keeps coming up, doesn't it, Jack, on our sessions here?
Yeah, it does. It's kind of like one of the big three, vitamin D, fish oils, and probiotics as the emerging one. The latest interesting vitamin D study focused on people in ICUs and hospitals, and these are typically very seriously ill patients. And what the researchers found was that somewhere between 81 and 99% of people in ICUs were deficient in vitamin D. Well, that's not all. They were also far more likely to die in the ICU and after being released from the ICU. So, I'm often left scratching my head wondering why aren't these people being supplemented with vitamin D?
And why aren't they? It's not an expensive vitamin to take.
And then there's this thing that I call medical inertia, and it's a little bit like trying to move an elephant all by yourself. It's not easily done.
Jack Chalom with us, 790-2040, and we're talking about, eating right and perhaps what you can do to make your health better. And, you know, the thing about diabetes, it's just been to the point where folks are saying, well, maybe they just need to cut out all sugar, but you're not saying all sugar is bad.
Well, you know, I don't mind people who want to occasionally indulge. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we've got a sweet tooth.
You've been known to have a brownie or two on occasion.
Yeah,
right?
I've been known to do that. Or a gelato in Italy.
Yeah.
Or a gelato here in Tucson. But really, the guide here is try to do the right thing 90% of the time. And if you do that, you can use the other 10% as a little bit of wiggle room to just enjoy some other things.
Let's see if we can work David in at 790-2040. David, you're with Jack Chalom.
You recommend plant sterols. What is your opinion about beta-sitosterol?
Beta-sitosterol is one of the phytosterols, and I highly recommend it for people who do want to lower their cholesterol.
And how is that? How do you take it?
It's in capsule form, available at health food stores and probably even pharmacies, over-the-counter.
Okay. 790-2040. And Philip, I think we can work Philip in. Go ahead very quickly, Philip, please.
Yes. Are there any natural remedies for valley fever?
Not that I'm aware of. I think you really need to see a physician when it comes to something like that.
Okay. Thank you, Philip. All right. Jack Chalom, where can people find out more about the Nutrition Reporter and your entire stable of your body of work?
Hi, Bill. Thank you. Nutritionreporter.com.
And that will take, and at Nutrition Reporter, you have the full listing of books.
I've got the recent books. I've got a year's worth of my newsletters that are free for the download. A lot of free stuff there.
And just type in Jack Chalom on Amazon, and most of Jack's books will come up, and it's a wealth of information just going through all the comments. And they've been very, very favorable over the years for Jack Chalom. Jack, thank you very much. Hope you have a great Independence Day weekend.
Thank you, Bill.
Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, another one of our fine local talk shows here. Wake Up Tucson, their Thursday edition, cranks up at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, and then the Daily Double with Christy Simone and a guest host from 8 to 9. And me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you for our Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show, which will feel like Friday, because we'll be taking Friday off, but we'll have a fine best of program for you. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.